All right, thank you. Welcome, everyone. This is the first call of the new TSC. Thank you all for supporting my re-election to chair. Congratulations to you to be becoming part of the TSC. I'm very happy that, well, I should start with the mandatory disclosures first. The antitrust policy notice. So these calls are public. Anybody is welcome to join. But there is two requirements to participating in these calls. The first one is to be aware and live by the antitrust policy, the notice of which is currently displayed on the screen if you're joining online, which I think everybody is. And this is to keep us out of legal trouble. And the other part is to live by the code of conduct, which basically asks everybody to participate in a, you know, decent manner. Don't be a jerk. So there is a link to the code of conduct from the agenda. Feel free to look at it if you haven't yet. So as I was saying, we have a new TSC. Congratulations again to everybody for joining. This is the new extended version of the TSC. So as everybody knows, I suppose, we had up to now, we had 11 seats, and then there was a growing number of working groups and projects, and we decided last year to extend the TSC to in hope to have a better representation of the growing community. And I for one think that it was pretty successful, because of course you never know really what you're going to get, but if you look at the numbers, you know, so we had 8 incumbents who ran and got reelected. But we got 7 new members, and it definitely has improved the mix in terms of representation diversity in many dimensions, whether it's, you know, gender or geography, and also, you know, in terms of the different projects, the number, if you count, you know, the number of projects, we lost 1, I think, Sawtooth. There is no people from the TSC, on the TSC from the Sawtooth project, but you know, we have other working groups and projects that have that are now represented. So I think overall it's definitely, you know, we have achieved our goal. So I'm pretty happy with that. So I had this line, short intro for the new members in the agenda. This is just to give you a little bit of, you know, how this TSC is functioning for those who may not be as familiar as others. Obviously, there are people who, though they are new to the TSC, I feel like they were already part of the TSC because they have been, you know, pretty active on the TSC call, and it's great. Now they can officially be part of the TSC, but, you know, there are things that are important to know. And I, you know, for one, Arun asked me the other day, you know, how do I bring up new issues and stuff like this? So I thought, okay, I can spend a few minutes just giving you a few pointers. I'm not going to take everybody like through a general tour. It would take too long and it would bore all the ones that already know about this. But, you know, I think the important stuff that you ought to know is, so there's the agenda, obviously. I always put an agenda together. Practically speaking, I try to start setting up the draft around on Monday so that, you know, I'm done by Tuesday. Depending on how much I have, I may call for agenda items on the mailing list explicitly, but anybody is welcome to, you know, take a peek and you know, add stuff to the agenda if you feel like it. It's probably a good idea to let me know, but I get notified by the wiki anyway, so I will probably see it. And then I post it on the mailing list, I announce it officially on Wednesdays. And as you've seen, for instance, Dan added an item, which is great. It's like, okay, you know, this, I don't claim to know the truth on what ought to be on the agenda systematically. So any help here is welcome. And then there are issues. So we use this what we call the decision log to try to capture important issues and decisions on those issues. And so you, anybody can go and create an issue in the decision log that would then appear at the bottom of the agenda. We have some mechanism that includes automatically the list of items that are in the decision log to be discussed. And you know, it's probably a good idea to bring it up. You can just go ahead and put it in decision log, but you know, you may also want to discuss it on one of the calls before you formally put, you know, an issue together in the decision log, because just to see if there is appetite for it, right? Because just because you're interested in something doesn't mean the TSC in general is going to be interested. And, you know, in general, I personally do that. I ask people, hey, there's this issue. Should we do something about it? And, you know, based on whether there is interest or not, then I go ahead and file a formal issue. And then of course we have the GitHub repository. So initially the governance documents were a bit spread around into the wiki. And last year we created a GitHub repo where we have a consolidated version of the governance documents. It's all linked from the TSC, from the wiki. But so when there are decisions that affect the governance, you know, so like if we change the process lifecycle, then, you know, the other day we added the Calvair and in addition to Semver for releases. And so then we do a pull request against the repo. We say, yes, that looks good. And then we merge it, and that gives us a consolidated. So the GitHub repo documentation is really considered to be the reference now. So yeah, thank you for showing that. So that's pretty much it. I mean, I'm not going to go much more into the details. If you have questions, feel free to reach out. Of course, we have the staff, like people like Rai, and you know, who are willing, who are very happy to help you. You can also reach out to me or Tracy, who is the vice chair. I should congratulate you later for that. And you know, Tracy has also, you know, she's been around a lot too. So she also has a lot of experience with the way we do things, and I'm sure she can help you as well. You know, if you have any questions as to how to bring up something or how to go at anything that's TSC related. So I hope I didn't want to spend too much time. If there are specific questions, I'm happy to take them now, or observations, comments.
Thanks, right. Arnold. That was a good introduction.
Okay, thank you. So, you know, I wanted to try to keep it short, but to give at least some pointers. Another thing I do want to, I will explain a little bit more now, is the quarterly reports, because people are not always completely sure about how we do this. So we have tried to streamline the reporting from the projects. One of the, you know, one of the main functions that we have as TSC is to keep an eye on the different projects. I mean, when we have new project proposal, we will look at them and decide whether we want to create new projects or not, approve them. But we also keep an eye on the existing ones. And so we have this process of quarterly reports. So we have this kind of rolling window of projects over the year on a quarterly basis. Each project has to fill out and submit to the TSC a report. Initially, we were doing this and going through the reports, you know, I want to say excruciatingly. I mean, it was very time consuming. We did that online during the calls, I mean. And then we decided, okay, we're going to have the TSC members look at those reports offline prior to discussing them on the call. And in an effort to streamline it even further, we basically don't discuss them unless there is something specific that needs to be discussed. And so it can be, so every time the new reports, I put them on the agenda to highlight the ones that were recently submitted. And so I will point them out, and you know, the TSC members have to read them and check the box, you know, to acknowledge they have actually reviewed them. You can ask questions in the comment sections on the wiki, but on the call, I will, you know, just say, is there, so, and the people report, there is a section up in the report that says questions and issues for the TSC. So people make reports on the projects and also have the opportunity to say, hey, there's this thing I would like the TSC to look into, or, you know, help from the TSC, whatever it is. And so, of course, if there are those things in, I will bring them up during the call so we have a chance to discuss it. And I will ask everybody if there is anything they want to highlight or discuss on the reports. But if there isn't, then we just basically gloss over them during the call. That's all I'm going to say. The idea is that we have these reports done, mostly being managed offline, and to reduce the amount of time we spend during the calls on those. All right? Is there any questions on that? So we have, for today, we have actually three reports that were submitted. None of them have a section, you know, have pointed out anything they wanted to bring up to the TSC specifically. There was a couple of questions, but they've been addressed, I believe, on the reports in the comment sections. So let me ask it again now. I mean, is there, so Arun, yeah, you posted some questions. Did you get the answer you wanted? I think so, right? Was question, they got answered.
There was a follow-up required on this through one of the discussions that was on the working group. And I guess Bran pointed out that there is a decision lock pending on this working group involvement, or that still needs to be brought up in one of the discussions. And apart from Fabric, I guess I put up one more question recently on Aroha. Over there, I observed few report comments which said that there were two points specifically which I want to bring up. One thing is it says that internship projects were completed, but some of them were not successfully completed. So wanted to see if that is something we need to see further for this year's internship project. Is there any learnings from that which we should apply?
Okay, but that's independent from the report there, right?
Yes.
The last thing, Arno, I would point out on this one, there was a discussion about sub-projects and what Fabric has been doing. And I replied saying, when we need a sub-project, we just have one of our maintainers reach out to Rai. It's pretty informal. And we create another repo with, you know, Fabric dash whatever. My question back was, you know, is there anything written down to formalize that? I mean, I don't want a whole lot of process to get in the way, but we probably should have something written down for what's the criteria and, you know, to create and maintain a new sub-project. Maybe it's already written down. I don't know.
I don't think it's written down. I know on the Aries and Indie side, the process is also rather informal, though we usually ask for some consensus out of the maintainers. So just one maintainer asking for it's not enough. We usually, all the maintainers know to ask around, and if you don't have three or four that are willing to support it, then we don't go forward.
Right. We do discuss it on our contributor and maintainer meetings, and we have consensus there, and then we go ask. Somebody goes asks in Rye.
That sounds about like what we do.
Yep. I agree with what Nathan said. I don't believe we have anything written down, but I don't care to have anything written unless there's a problem that needs to be formalized, because, I mean, you know, if there's no problem, really, there's no problem to solve, we don't have to do anything. I'd rather keep it that way.
I see that Brian has his hand up.
Yep. Yeah, sorry, I didn't want to interrupt others. Back to Arun's question about the mentorships. I think it's worth bringing up whenever we see things in project reports to ask, is this something project specific to talk about and maybe address, or is it something systemic worth addressing? So thank you, Arun, for bringing it up. The mentorship programs always have a bit of attrition. Projects won't necessarily get all the way to completion. And we do monitor that as staff. And also payouts to students are often based on achieving milestones, and we will step in and make a judgment call. Was it the student who kind of dropped out? Was it that the original mentor got busy and didn't engage, which means it's no fault of the student? Well, we do involve ourselves in those projects, and sometimes they just don't work out. I don't think there's anything Aroha specific about this, about those projects not succeeding. It's just, I think the students that were picked did drop out just in terms of becoming less responsive. than they needed to be. So that's it. And we're always thinking about adjusting how we adjust the mentorship programs for the next year. We're watching that.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks. Dano, I was going to ask you anyway, so go ahead. Dano?
Let me find the mute button. There we go.
Okay.
I like the idea of the lightweight process. I'm cool with that. One of my concerns, though, is how to identify a project that's a sub-project that's alive and kicking versus one that was an experiment and has been, you know, is no longer a going concern. I don't know that any of these are falling into that second category, but having been in open source projects before, I know that's something that tends to happen, is that sub-projects tend to get forgotten about.
If I could, so we do have, if you look at the Hyperledger-Archives GitHub.org, you'll see the fate of quite a number of those. And what usually happens is I will see that there are projects that have no commits, and I will ask the maintainers if it's appropriate to archive them. And then if yes, we archive them. We have some that have been in the process of being archived for many months or years, but it's not something that I really push on very hard. That's how it happens.
Yeah, and we have a similar process for labs for that matter. So it's very similar. Again, it's not formalized, but I always, you know, I'm always happy when Rai bring those up because I'm like, well, it's good somebody is kind of looking out for those things. We need to sweep a bit, you know, do a little bit of house cleaning. Does that work for you, Dano, or do you think we need to do more?
Yeah, I think that's great. We just haven't been hit by the please clean up your old moldy project request from Rai yet, so.
Yeah, you've not been around long enough, I guess, but that will come, I'm sure. All right, any other questions related to reports specifically?
Hi, it's not a question, but I just wanted to mention that it's Sarah here from Miroha Maintainers yes. team, and I also have Andre here. So if you have any questions regarding the mentorships or anything else, we're here to answer them as usual when we present the reports. So if you have any like specific questions for us, we're ready to answer. Just know. Thanks.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. Another question which I had put in Aeroha, but probably this applies in generic. Maybe it is already answered. It's just that I'm not aware of is. So the report also mentions that there is one security audit done and a security issue was identified by one of the user, which was fixed in last quarter. Are these things taken care via the approach on security reporting procedure, which is listed out in the web page? Is this being done through that? Or do we need something else around it?
Well, if I may. So the feedback that came from the person from the community, it wasn't like a severe, like actual security breach. Andre is here to explain the technical details of it, but it was like, it seems like security breach, but it doesn't seem to be like something severe as far as I understand. And about the security audit, it was arranged by Hyperledger. So it's something that we were thinking they might post somewhere, and it's their own like process kind of thing.
We are currently in the process of doing that. I typically like to do blog posts and stuff. If you'd like to take a look at it, because the Aeroha developers were part of it, right? So they were made aware of any of the issues we found, as far as I'm aware, Sarah.
I thought the question was about that the results were not posted somewhere, that sort of thing.
They haven't been yet, because I typically do like a full blog post and everything like that and try to get, you know, developers to talk about it. But I can throw them up on the wiki like right now. So in fact, I'll do that.
Sure. Like. I think it's not a question for me, but for Arun. So
Okay. I will make sure that we're all up to date. I have a couple that,
But Arun, does that address your question?
Sure. Yes. That that answers. As long as we keep track of these things, it will in a way help us, right, when we design something new, or it will kind of help us in suggesting something else to a new project, for example. I wanted to make sure that these are documented somewhere.
Okay.
Tracy, there's a whole I was going to say, Arun, there's a whole section on our wiki that has all of the audits that have been done for all the projects. I think I'm just behind on Naroha because it was just recently completed. And we're currently doing a new one for Fabric 2.2, like right now. So if you'd like, I'll send you the link. Just under the Hyperledger security, there's a whole section called project audits. If you click on it, there's all of the published audits or all the audit reports published there.
Thanks, Dave. I'll look into it.
Yep.
And so, by the way, I'm going to let Tracy talk because she has her hand raised, but I should have pointed that out. We have been actually, as of late, we've been using the raise hand feature of the Zoom meeting. So with the growing number of members, it might be appropriate to use it. And, you know, we're not very strict about it. If you really feel an urge to interject something because, you know, it's part of the conversation, you feel free to interject. But, you know, otherwise, it's probably a good idea to use it so that it allows us to get to everybody who wants to speak without talking over one another. Tracy, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna pretty much say something similar to what Dave did. Arun, there's an entire process around security audits when they're conducted. There's a security reporting mechanism as well. I think we have security at hyperledger.org as well as some security features in Jira, maybe even GitHub issues as well. So there's ways to report security issues such that it's not open to the world, right? Those audits are done. I can't remember what the exact process is, but it is documented on the wiki, as Dave mentioned. So just FYI, there is process and kind of some good information out there that you can look for.
All right. Thank you, Tracy. And by the way, one more piece of information. We use the TSC channel on Rocket Chat during the calls to have side conversations, sometimes like bring up links and whatnot. We don't use the Zoom chat feature. So with that being said, I think we're done with the reports. Is there anything else? Anybody wanted to say something about one of the reports? Otherwise, we can move on. So there is always this link, kind of highlight, you know, if you want to know what projects is next to report, you can look at the page that's linked for the upcoming reports. So now we are moving to the discussion part of the loosely, you know, called discussion part of the agenda. Sometimes I have a section that's decision, where I highlight items that have been basically discussed and they only need to be, decided on. But otherwise, everything kind of falls into this discussion part, which doesn't necessarily mean a lot of discussion. But anyway, so we have Dan here today who wanted us to get warmed up on the business of voting. Dan.
Hey. Thanks for the time. I inserted this at the beginning of the discussion, thinking that you guys probably want to spend a decent amount of time on the other topics. And hopefully this is a fairly brief one for you. Periodically, the working groups will elect new chairs. And the process that we had decided on in the past was that the TSC will formally approve those. And this is the case for the Diversity, Civility, and Inclusion Working Group. And if you're not familiar with our working group, this is our effort to make sure that we're growing a healthy community within Hyperledger that we can all be proud of participating in. And we are ready for the first transition there. And I see Lindsay Noon is on the call. And Lindsay has volunteered to take on this role. She started working with us in the working group over a year ago. And I think at that point, Lindsay might have been with Google still. And now Lindsay has her own startup. And she brings a wealth of experience with her in this DCI space. And importantly, a lot of passion for helping continue to grow that healthy community. And so Lindsay, I don't know if you have anything that you'd like to share with the group.
Definitely. Good morning. And it's really great to be connected with you all, even virtually. I have been, as Dan just said, really involved in the Hyperledger community through working with the technology with my own startup. But over the course of, my career in tech, really just love to see how welcoming and inviting and innovative the blockchain community has been. And so any opportunity to get more involved in that and contribute positively is a welcomed opportunity. And I appreciate it and really look forward to working with you all.
All right, thank you. Welcome, Lindsay.
Hello.
All right, so that's the proposition. The proposal is to approve Lindsay. I don't see any reason we wouldn't do that. Is there any concerns or anybody wants to comment? Tracy.
Yeah, I just was curious, Dan. I don't know if I heard the rest of the DCI working group is behind this as well.
Yeah, so we've had the last couple of meetings, we've been talking about this transition, they've been lightly attended meetings, but everybody's been supportive.
Great, thanks.
Bobby.
Hi, everybody. It was my assumption, and I could be misguided from when Salona was around, that we, in the working groups, take a survey of the working group with a question on the survey about the new member, leadership member, and the community responds to the survey, and then it's brought to the TSC. That's what we're doing in my working group, and if that's not correct, I can just bring the name to the TSC.
So I don't know if there's a formal process that I'm familiar with for each working group, other than each working group within their own subcommunity there reaches a decision.
Yeah, I think that I just posted a link in the chat because I had at one point thought that as well, Bobby. I think we had discussed it, but then the TSC decided that it was really just the TSC's responsibility to make that decision. So there's a in that link that I posted, there's a comment that basically says that the TSC will appoint the chair. So that when the chair decides to step down, the TSC will then appoint another chair with input from the community and existing chair. So that's why I asked the question about whether or not the rest of the working group had the conversation, just to make sure that everybody was on board. But I don't think there's any formal survey that's required, Bobby.
Just one more follow-up. Is that for co-chairs as well, or vice chairs, assistant chairs?
I don't think we have the answer to that question, but Tracy, do you?
I don't have the answer to that question, no. I don't think we ever, I think co-chairs were something that were kind of talked about after this process document was created. And then this document was never updated to reflect whatever was decided there, but I don't even know what was decided. If that was just a decision of the working group, or if it was if it had to come to the TSC.
So my personal bias is to push all these decisions as far to the edge to the people who. So that's I'm totally like let the working group do that.
I agree. I was going to say something like that too. I was like, again, I don't want more process than's really needed, and so. I mean, based on the text that Tracy pointed out, thanks for doing this, I think we're already in the situation where we have input from the community and it's being communicated back to us by the existing chair. So we make a decision on the chair. And then beyond that, we leave it to the chair to figure it out with their working groups. I think that's the answer, Bobby.
Perfect, thank you.
Though that did give me the opportunity to remember that part of the transition discussion we had was we wanted to make sure that we invited TSC members to the next DCI working group call, just so that you guys can get a little bit more involved in and aware of what the agenda is for that group. And then for those of you who are new, the DCI working group provided a set of recommendations to the TSC and to the board, to the community at large during the middle of the summer. And part of those recommendations were that this subject matter should be part of the TSC discussions on a periodic basis rather than risking having it sort of pigeonholed off to the side in the working group where it doesn't get the visibility that it needs to be effective. So I expect that you'll probably hear more from the working group in this call. And if some of you on the TSC want to help champion that work by participating with the working group, I think that'd be great.
We even, to Dan's point, talked a bit about having a DCI sort of champion within the TCI committee, work more closely with us on collaborative projects so that the real practical and strategic work is, ingrained in the conversation and not just siloed off. So I definitely, as you guys get ramped up, and I know there's still probably a lot going on in the background that you have to land, but would love to really start talking about how we move those projects and recommendations forward in a more detailed way.
All right. And I think, back to what Dan was saying about making sure the TSC, keeps an eye on what's going on. Obviously, I mean, Dan has been quite helpful in this regard to bring up the stuff, to the TSC. And I think as chair, it's definitely part of your role that would be helpful to the TSC to act like as a liaison, sort of, role.
Absolutely.
So back to the decision. We have to make a decision. I think for this kind of decision, I don't hear any controversy brewing there. So I'm happy to say, I'm proposing to approve Lindsay as the, appointed as chair of the DCI working group. And I would like to have just a show of hand kind of thing. Oh, we can actually do that. We've done that in the past. Let's play more with the
yes, no.
Yeah,
I was just yes, gonna. No. I was gonna motion that we vote. Arno.
You want to vote so how?
That Lindsay becomes the new DC,
yes, please.
DCI working
thank chair. You.
So if somebody wants to second that, that'd be great.
Second.
Thank you.
All right. So and you can all use the yes and no buttons on the thing to say yes. We don't have to have a formal roll call, but we can use it this way. Does anybody object or wants to abstain?
I don't know what your emoji means, Dan.
Yeah, I don't know. He's clapping. So. And Bobby, Brian is having a coffee. So that's great. There's more features to these Zoom meetings than I knew. Anyway, I only see green. I will declare this as passed. Thank you and congratulations, Lindsay.
Yeah, we had 10 votes for and that was it.
That's good enough. Thanks. All right. So let's move on. Lessons learned for the TSC election. So, Dave was running the show this year. And we had tried to be more organized this year by putting together a plan, the staff did, you know, presenting it to the TSE, agreeing to all the deadlines and all that, the steps involved, and then executing it. Of course, you know, it's there are always bugs. And so Dave had to do quite a bit of running around trying to patch the holes. And my understanding is, you know, he has been updating the plan to reflect all the changes so that we would have a record of what really we did or he did. And, you know, we would be better off for next year. This thing comes up every year and we spend an absurd amount of time discussing the process for the TSC election. So all of this is try to streamline it. So is there anything more that needs to be said on the TSC election at this point in terms of the process? Dave, do you have anything? Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that Rye also did a great deal of work to help behind the scenes. And I think this year went off as smoothly as we've ever seen, right? We tried something to be radically transparent with the election mailing list that anybody could volunteer to be on. That was a private mailing list where I tried my best to make sure that all communications were CC'd to that list. So anybody on that could see, you know, inbound requests, outbound replies, all that kind of stuff. So we did have a little bit of problem with the Condorcet tool. And my main recommendation for next year is to have the TSC approve us to do, you know, something different, or maybe not even you guys approving it, but, you know, we'll find something better because the Condorcet tools emailing capabilities seem to be lacking. They don't even use DKIM or any of the other email deliverability things. And so we relied heavily on Salesforce's marketing cloud this year to make sure that we got reminders out to everybody because it has much higher deliverability. So that is my summary of what I thought went well, what I think we can improve on. I would really appreciate feedback both directly here or email or whatever. I mean, it's your meeting, Arno, but yeah, if you really want to have a deeper discussion on things that went well or could be done better next year, you know, find me on chat, email me. I'm going to be putting all of the notes from this year, including all of the template, the email templates and all of that in a postmortem and just put it in a box and put a bow on it for next year. I hope that that will function as a script for next year because yeah. I really did write it out like it was, you know, on this date, do this, on this date, do this, right? And I tried to capture it all on the wiki, so.
Yeah, no, that's. I think that was the right thing to do. And this is exactly what I thought. There was a form of script that we would be reusing. From my point of view, the biggest challenge seemed to be with people not receiving email, despite all the efforts that have been put into getting the right email address for everyone. And I think there'll be some discussions that probably need to be with regard to, you know, again, who qualifies, you know, who has become, what does it take to become, to be eligible, to be part of the election process. Bawa is on the, has his hand raised.
Yeah. First, I would like to thanks Debbie, Ryan, and all the team to make the election work. And in my opinion, I think for the next year, we have two improvements. The first one is I think we should publish the election information and the process in more places, such as those project mail list and working group mail list. And we can ask the working group chairs to help propaganda the information too. And secondly, it's related to the time schedule. We should refine the election time to avoid those overlap with the holidays. You know, each year for the first 2 weeks of October is always the China's national holiday. So yeah, there's some feedback from the China community. Yeah, that's my two cents. Thanks, Arno.
Okay, thanks. So I guess we failed a little bit on this, and maybe there were. Sorry, I was muted. Yeah, I'm muted speaking to my screen. Thanks for bringing that up, Bawa. I think that's a failure on our part. And hopefully, you know, it shows the problem with not having enough diversity on the TSC, because we moved it from August to September, October, because we said, hey, we're all on vacation in summer, which, you know, is not necessarily true for everybody around the world. So we should, that sounds like something we need to maybe look at again. Everybody loves talking about the TSC election process anyway, so I do expect us to spend more time on that. all right, so thanks again for all the effort that was put into at least trying to make it better, and we'll keep doing that. Practice makes perfect, right? So next on the agenda, I wanted to give the new TSC members, these are the non-incumbent people, right? An opportunity to, you know, share with us if they have any views or ideas on things that we should do moving forward. I mean, we finished the previous term with a call during which I gave the opportunity for everybody to basically do a bit of a retrospective and thinking about talking about what they thought that worked well and maybe not so well that we should take into account moving forward. And so I thought, well, the new members didn't have a chance to speak up because they were not there. So now is your chance. If there is anything, and you know, I don't want us to drill into anything specific now. It's just giving a sense if there are things that you have ideas that, you know, hey, is something that I think the TSC should do. Is, you know, you can do that now. And obviously we'll have to get to those more formally, you know, to get them addressed, but just to get a general sense if people have ideas. And by the way, Grace, go ahead.
Hey, I don't have a good idea off the top of my head for what, you know, things to improve upon, but I was wondering, have we ever done or has the TSC ever had a survey out to the community asking for feedback on what they would want to see out of the TSC more? I know Hyperledger generally does community surveys and feedback, but I'm not sure if the TSC has done one.
I don't believe
we have done that. If we hadn't, maybe that would be a good idea.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. To answer your question, no, we have not done that.
Okay, so yeah. Getting their feedback and how we're performing and what they want to see out of us over the next year, I think would be valuable part of it.
That sounds good.
Open other thoughts too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Arun?
Hey, thanks for this. So I wanted to just bring up one topic here. So this time, it used to be my conflicts with my working meeting. So at my work, I have this meeting at the same time. So I used to miss out most of this TSC meeting because of it. And now I got a chance to attend these meetings and by saying no to work meetings, right? So it could be the same way for most of the project maintainers. Maybe they have conflicts with other things. So following up with TSC meetings is kind of difficult for them. And at least in last few weeks or last few months, I have seen some miscommunications happening. And then I just searched for some other topic. And then I came to know that few of the things are even reported, and these are publicly being followed by many people around the world. So wanted to see if there is a way for us to improve communication between the TSC and rest of the community in terms of, we can focus for now on, let's say, only the projects which are under Hyperledger and those maintainers, if there is a way for us to give those feedback. Do we want to relook into those process of how we share information or what decisions have been made here should be relayed to everyone over there? Because I feel it should be a two-way thing than it should, so that opens up inclusiveness, right? And that opens up, in a way, people to give feedback on to the TSA itself, for that matter.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. I do think you're touching on an important point that, you know, we have touched on before. I don't know that we ever really said, okay, what are we going to do about it per se, but I mean, I think we have lamented over the fact that we didn't always have as much participation or connection with the, even like the maintainers of the different projects. I mean, obviously several of us, we are, you know, are maintainers in different projects. And so we do act a bit as a liaison with the projects in that regard, but not necessarily, you know, we don't necessarily have as much connection as maybe we should have. Anybody else wants to comment? Dano, I don't know if you have ideas, if you want to follow up on that. If anybody wants to follow up, you just speak up now.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things I wanted to bring up as well, is the notion of liaisons, because we don't have representation in this meeting from all the working groups and all of the different projects. We have it from a lot of them. A lot of them we get just by having members of the TSC being maintainers or participants in those projects. But like, you know, some of the working groups have no representation. And my thought was we should do two things. Number one, we should probably do a poll of the TSC members and the people who attend regularly of which projects they consider themselves to be participants in, and could talk about the ground truth about the project in case we have questions. And from that poll, we can figure out what holes we have. I mean, we should consider, you know, just seeing the holes, that might encourage some TSC members to call into their regular calls just to sit in and listen and see what's going on, or maybe consider formally assigning liaisons to those projects to make sure that there is communication, that we, you know, get a better feel about what's going on with it.
All right, sounds interesting. Good. Bobby?
Yeah, I think that the meeting recordings are priceless. And I know we do that developer newsletter. I think that maybe at the bottom, if we just put links to all the meeting recordings, I know that's a lot of work. And I know the Learning Materials Working Group attempts to do this, to have one spot for people to look to say, oh, I want to hear that recording this week, instead of having to niddle down into the wiki to try to find it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting idea. That's a practical thing we might be able to do.
So I, at one point, started posting the TSC recordings to YouTube. Someone requested that I not, because it was too easy, for reasons, they had the reasons. I'm open to publishing those on YouTube, or all of the meeting recordings to YouTube, if that's easier. But I think each working group is going to need to kind of come to consensus as to whether or not they're comfortable with that. So that's an option.
Okay. Lindsay?
Yeah, hopefully, you know, you guys have more success here, but one of the things that we noted in our recommendations were that we got historically low participation in surveys. I think it lingered at around 10%. And another one of the participants from Cloud Foundry also had similar results on surveys. So ended up suggesting some feedback around alternative methods, i.e. interviews directly with people who are more active in the conversation, or different outreach strategies that really could collect that feedback that we're looking for. But I don't know, the DCI working group seemed to historically really struggle with getting participation rates and surveys that would indicate a true poll of how the community feels about an issue. And I think, Dan, if you want to elaborate on anything that I might have missed, please feel free. But I'll drop the link to the recommendations in the chat so everybody can reference it.
Yeah, no, but this is interesting. I do know that it was difficult to get people engaged in responding to the survey. And you know, we have also, for instance, a maintainer's list, which is dead silence pretty much, you know, all the time. And when by, it seems like, you know, by accident, I want to say, you know, somebody posts there, it largely seems to be ignored. And so this is a challenge I think we have. And, you know, one of the things that I took out from the kind of like debriefing we had at the end of the previous term was, you know, yeah, we should work more on creating one community. And this also came through at the Hyperledger Summit, member summit, and a few weeks ago. And I think that remains a big challenge for us to try to tackle. I don't know that there's a magic solution to this problem, but we definitely ought to try to do more. Bawa?
Yeah, just curious to know what's the number for other open source communities, like the giving the survey.
I'm sorry, what are you saying? See if there are other communities, if there are things we could borrow. If
yeah, as Barbara said, that we have 10% participant of the survey, right? And I want to, maybe we can compare the number with other open source communities.
Yeah, I don't know if we have that, but.
This is David, I have a thought, and I'm sorry, I would have raised my hand, but it's not letting me. I guess if you're a host, you can't raise your hand perhaps, or I can't just figure it out. I mean, it's, again, sorry to interrupt, but I do have some feedback about how we went about gathering this sort of feedback in other communities. I've done some audits in a couple of different communities, and you're right, survey fatigue is real and it's hard to work around. I mean, the thing that I've seen and done that has worked really well is more of an informational interview approach, because you really, beyond just having an opportunity to talk to people, you know, in a way that gets them to give you feedback, which doesn't necessarily happen if you send them a survey, they may or may not fill it out. And also the open-ended nature of it is really helpful. I mean, a survey, you only get feedback from the, you know, related to the questions you ask, but there may be some, you know, unexpected things that people could tell us that we wouldn't craft a survey question around. So anyway, I would encourage maybe an informational interview approach. And there are a lot of us. If every TSC member, for example, spoke to just one or two people, that's a, you know, a pretty, gets us a lot of good feedback. So that could be an approach too. You know, we could ask each TSC member to reach out to one or two or three people, and then we could, you know, gather feedback and collate it and aggregate it that way. So I've seen that work really well. Informational interviews for on audit and other communities have worked better than surveys.
All right, that sounds interesting. I don't want to spend more time on this now, but I think this is, you know, clearly an issue we have to have on our list of things to look further into. And I will use that as a segue to get to the next agenda item, which I put in, which is somewhat related in terms of, you know, improving understanding of what's going on. You know, I, somebody's, so the, you know, I talked earlier at the beginning of the call, you know, about the quarterly reports we have from the projects. And, you know, I said, well, we're trying to be quick and effective about, you know, going through those reports and not spending time on the calls. But recently it became pretty clear in the discussion regarding Transact that a lot of us, despite, you know, going carefully through all the reports that have been posted to date, you know, we didn't really have a good understanding of what was going on with that project. And so to me, this really meant that, okay, the quality reports don't effectively communicate to the TSC what's going on. So we need to do better at that. And we may need to change the template used for the reports. And one thing that I think we have now at our disposal that we haven't really been using much is the Insights tool that the Linux Foundation has created. Rai spent quite a bit of time tuning it to the Hyperledger. So we have now all these dashboards that give you all sorts of numbers. And so what I would like people to consider, and you know, we don't have to make the decision now, we're almost out of time, but you know, think about it is, you know, I would like to propose basically that, you know, all the reports have a link to the latest quarter, report. So there's a URL, I put it in the agenda, explicitly the whole URL, because essentially you can set the, you know, we can all use the same pattern for the URL that links directly to the relevant data in the insight tool for your project. So there's a piece which has the project name, and then there's a time range. And so the idea is, you know, all you have to do in your report is to change the time range so that it points to the last quarter for your project. And it just, you know, every member can already do that, but I'm trying to make it easier for us to have that information really at the tip of our fingers. By when you read at the report, you have a link to the latest data on the project, and you can directly find the relevant information and be able to browse through this. So that's one idea that I think, you know, but if anything, looking back at, I think, you know, what we said we should work on, it's one of those things, right? So I would like us to spend a bit more time on this. And if there are other ideas on how to make those reports more meaningful and then, you know, bringing up the right information, I think, you know, all ideas are welcome. I don't know if there's anybody has any reaction in the 1 minute we have left, but we can discuss it further, obviously, moving forward. Hart.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that that community bridge information is really useful, and I already, you know, use it to do quarterly reports. It makes, you know, doing the quarterly reports very easy.
All right, thank you. Okay, so we're out of time. I just wanted to point out we have two issues that we inherited from the previous term that, you know, need to be worked on to get better drafted proposals. And I'm looking for volunteers. If anybody wants to help, you can, I mean, it doesn't have to be formal per se. You can just look at the wiki and contribute there, either by taking the pen, trying to put a proposal together, or editing what's there, or commenting, you know, these are, anything like this is helpful. I always, you know, I strongly believe in making concrete proposals. They don't have to be perfect, but as soon as you put a proposal on the table, we can all look at, we can make edit and make progress moving forward, and then finally getting to an answer. So that's usually the mode of operation I like to use. So with that being said, I don't want to abuse everybody's time. So I suggest we close the call on this. I knew we had a full agenda. It proved me right. But I think that it was good. I'm happy to work with all of you and look forward to the whole year. And so we'll talk again next week. Thank you all for joining today. Goodbye.